The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 17, 1986 at New Panihati Dham in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila, Chapter 7, Verse 1 through 24.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simply by the causeless mercy of the devotees engaged in licking honey from his lotus feet, even a fallen soul becomes eternally liberated. Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Daita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Adaita Chandra, all glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Marshantare jato gaurira bhakta gana aila, purvavat Mahaprabhu sabari milila. The next year all the devotees of Bengal went to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as previously the Lord met each and every one of them. E mato bilash prabhur bhakta gana lohiya henokale ballabharta mililo asiya. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastime with his devotees. Then a learned scholar named Ballabharta went to Jagannath Puri to meet the Lord. For a description of Ballabharta, one may refer to Madhya Lila chapter 19, text 61. Asiya bandilo bata prabhu charane prabhu bhagavata buddhe koilalingane. When Ballabharta arrived, he offered his obeisance to the lotus feet of the Lord. Accepting him as a great devotee, the Lord embraced him. Manna kori prabhu tari nikote mosaila binoy kori abata kohite lagila. With great respect, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seated Ballabharta near him. Then Ballabharta very humbly began to speak. Bahudina monoratha toma dekivare jagannatha purna koila dekilu tumare. For a long time, he said, I have desired to see you, my Lord. Now Lord Jagannath has fulfilled this desire, therefore I am seeing you. Tumar darsana je pai sei bhagyavan tumake dekhiye jano sakat bhagavan. One who receives your audience is fortunate indeed, for you are the Supreme Personality of God in Himself. Tumare je smaran kore sehoi pavitra darshane pavitra habe ite ki vichitra. Since one who remembers you is purified, why should it be astonishing that one should become purified by seeing you? You can remember the Lord and become purified, and if you can see the Lord, then how much more you can be purified. Yeshang sang smaranat pungsham satya sudyanti vai grihaha king punar darsana sparsa.
One can immediately purify his entire house simply by remembering exalted personalities, to say nothing of directly seeing them, touching their lotus feet, washing their feet, or offering them places to sit. It's a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.19.33. Kali kali adharma krishna nama sankirtan Krishna Shakti Bina Mahita Prabhartana. The fundamental religious system in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. A Unless empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate the Sankirtan movement. Aha parvartaila tumi eto praman Krishna shakti dharo tumi te nahiyan. You have spread the Sankirtan movement of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it is evident that you have been empowered by Lord Krishna. There is no question about it. Report, Sri Madhvacharya has brought our attention to this quotation from the Narayana Samhita. Sarvariya janaya Vishnu Pancharatraishakevalai Kalotu nama matrena Pujyate Bhagavan Hari. In the Dwarpar Yuga, one could satisfy Krishna or Vishnu only by worshipping opulently according to the Pancharatriki system. But in the age of Kali, one can satisfy and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by chanting His holy name. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that unless one is directly empowered by the causeless mercy of Krishna, one cannot become the spiritual master of the entire world, Jagat Guru. One cannot become an Acharya simply by mental speculation. The true Acharya presents Krishna to everyone by preaching the holy name of the Lord throughout the world. Thus the conditioned souls purified by chanting the holy name are liberated from the blazing fire of material existence. In this way, spiritual benefit grows increasingly full, like the waxing moon in the sky. The true Acharya, the spiritual master of the entire world, must be considered an incarnation of Krishna's mercy. Indeed, he is personally embracing Krishna. He is therefore the spiritual master of all the Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and all the Asramas, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Banaprastha, and Sannyasa. Since he is understood to be the most advanced devotee, he is called Paramahansa Thakur. Thakur is a little of honor, a title of honor offered to the Paramahamsa. Therefore, one who acts as an Acharya, directly presenting Lord Krishna by spreading his name and fame, is also to be called Paramahamsa Thakur. So, end of the report. These are very important verses, these two. Kali Kali Dharmo, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vina, Nahi Tar Pravartan, and Taha Pravartailo Tumi Eto Praman, Krishna Shakti Guru Tumi Iti Nahiyam. The fundamental religious system in this age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Less empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate. Srila Prabhupada was able to propagate the Sankirtan movement all over the world in its pure form. Therefore, he was supremely empowered by Lord Krishna. We find that Prabhupada was unique in this regard. Everyone admits that he definitely was empowered by Lord Krishna. So, since he was able to get the blessing of Krishna to Chaitanya for spreading the Sankirtan movement, then persons all over the world believe in this and believe in Lord Chaitanya. So, take the shelter of the divine grace. Process. By doing so, then we will definitely be successful. Sometimes one even sees that Prabhupada's training and process is so perfect, even out of false ego, if somebody wants to leave the Krishna conscious movement. But if they follow the
principles of Srila Prabhupada, to some extent, they also are able to achieve results. Because Prabhupada's message is so powerful due to his empowered position as the eternal devotee of the Lord. The Guru is considered the incarnation of Krishna's mercy. The true spiritual master simply represents the previous spiritual master's version. Doesn't change things of the previous spiritual master, but tries to preserve them. This is a wonderful feature. In the disciplic succession, there's no two opinions on major issues. There's only one opinion, and this is handed down. So, because Srila Prabhupada was empowered by Krishna's mercy, therefore, said here, he is understood to be the most advanced devotee. Called Paramahamsa Thakur. And he is the spiritual master of all the varnas and all the ashramas. Somebody thinks that, well, I'm born a Brahmana, therefore I can't accept someone as my spiritual master who wasn't a born Brahmana. It's not confirmed here. Somebody is actually empowered by Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, then everyone, regardless of their caste, color, creed, can take shelter. True Acharya is an Acharya for the entire world. If somebody is actually empowered by Krishna, then anywhere in the world, someone may get faith instilled in the heart by Krishna's mercy. Here it explains, what are the qualifications of an Acharya? The Prabhupada became the Jagat Guru or the spiritual master of the entire world. Can't happen. Happens simply due to the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna to everyone by preaching the holy name of the Lord throughout the world. So in this way, as the Krishna conscious movement is being spread more and more, it's like the moon getting fuller and fuller. Today is the full moon day, Purnima. From this day onwards, Milk fast is over and yogurt fast, or a milk fast begins and yogurt fast is over. So, for the Chaturmasi. But just like it's the full moon, so similarly, even though a devotee is pure, but they're always trying to bring the moon to a more full state for practicing Krishna consciousness. Says here that the spiritual master is personally the incarnation of Krishna's mercy, this true Acharya, and that he is always embracing Krishna. That's why in the song I wrote, Prabhupada poto bahire kali kali maya bahire, that if we go off of the path that's been authorized by Srila Prabhupada, which he enunciated, that path representing the pure path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If someone just whimsically goes off of that path, then it's Kali Kali Maya Vaide. Then it means that it's the illusion of the age of Kali. In this regard, Haridas Thakur went and visited the house of Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya was very happy to have him there. on the occasion of the Shraddh, or death anniversary of his parents, Advaita Goswami, had a special function called the Shraddh, where they offer some sacrifices and rituals, and they offer a big feast to Lord Krishna. So it's customary that the first offering, or the Mahaprasad, should be offered to the most senior devotee or brahmana present at the time. So after the offering was made to Krishna, then Advaita had to consider who he was going to offer. The first remnant, just like after the Rajasuya sacrifice, they had to consider who should get the offering. So that time, Sahadeva said it should be given to Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Sisupala stood up and said, no, absolutely not. Krishna is this, Krishna is that. How can you give Krishna? Don't listen to this fanatical boy. What does he know? And he kept on saying so many ridiculous things that finally Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra flew from his hand and chopped his head off. So Advaita Goswami, he suggested that I should give the first offering to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family. But he was a pure devotee of Krishna. So Advaita saw that he's the best Brahmin, he's the best representative of the Lord. He's the spiritual master of all the varnas and all the ashramas. But then some Brahmin objected. How can you give Haridas Thakur the first offering? He is not a Brahmin. Meaning he wasn't a born Brahmin. So then Advaita said, well, let's give a test. Who is the real Brahmin here? According to the Vedas, the real Brahmin, when they breathe on the wood, they can create it fire. By mantra, they can make wood light up. When they make their fire sacrifice, get all the wood there, then instead of, you know, rubbing with the matches or lighting with the lighter, they simply say the mantras. So they all accepted the challenge. So the firewood was held in front of each of the Brahmins. When they came to them, then they said the mantra and blew on the firewood. But there was no flame. No flame came up at all. They went to the next one. Then again he said the fire, Agni mantra, then nothing. Like this they went to the whole assembly. Everybody was huffing and puffing. But there was no fire. So then they brought the fire in front of Haridas Thakur. And he chanted the name of the Lord and breathed on the firewood. Poof! It came up into fire. Everyone was astonished. Then Advaita Goswami said, then here is the Brahmin. So then he offered the first plate of prasadam to Haridas Thakur. So the real spiritual master is the spiritual master of all varnas and ashramas. The person who is a bona fide, empowered spiritual master, even if he's a grihastha, he may be the spiritual master of sannyasis, or vice versa. It's not based upon some external material qualification, but it's a spiritual blessing handed down from the previous acharya. So, because Srila Prabhupada took up very humbly and very sincerely the instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Therefore, he was empowered to spread the movement all over the world. So actually all the different religious leaders, they should accept Srila Prabhupada as spiritual master of the entire world, of every varna, of every ashram, of every sect, of every caste, of every creed. He is the guru for everyone. Jagat Guru. Paramhamsa Thakur. He should be accepted by all. The other important point here is that this verse by Madhva Acharya from Narayana Sanghita, which confirms in the Dwarpa Yuga, by opulently worshipping the Lord in the temple, we could, according to Pancharatri system, we could achieve Krishna, but in this age, we achieve the same thing by worshipping Krishna. Through chanting His holy names. This is the very special benediction of this age. Just like we try to do the deity worship, but then if you don't have your own farm and you buy milk, they put cod liver oil in the milk. Everything is a little bit contaminated. You don't get pure things. You want to offer things very opulently to the Lord, but things are not done so perfectly. So by chanting the holy name of the Lord, then everything becomes organizing. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, then everything becomes perfected in this age. Even the deity worship is a little bit not up to standard. Not that we should be lax, not that we shouldn't try to maintain the Pancharatri principles, but in case there's some mistake, that's corrected by the mercy of the Lord. So he went on to say, Jagate kori la tumi Krishna nama porokash. Prakashe je tuma deke se Krishna preme bashe. You have manifested the holy name of Krishna throughout the entire world. Anyone who sees you is immediately absorbed in ecstatic love of Krishna. Prema prakasha nahi Krishna shakti vine. Krishna eka prema data shastra pramane. Without being specifically empowered by Krishna, no one can manifest ecstatic love of Krishna, for Krishna is the only one who gives ecstatic love. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. And he quotes, Santvavatara bhava puruskara navasya sarvato vadraha Krishna Anya kovalata swa api premado bhavati. There may be many all auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who other than Lord Sri Krishna can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? This is a verse written by Vilva Mangal Thakur. It is found in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So, love of Godhead is a special adhikar or special reserved blessing of Lord Krishna Himself. No one else can give that mercy to the surrendered souls. Different incarnations come, they can give moksha. Only Vishnu can give liberation. Shiva, Brahma, Durga, Indra, Varuna, they're not able to give complete liberation. Only Vishnu can give. But only Krishna can give love for Krishna. Love of Godhead, prema, is only given by Krishna, not others. So, someone understands this and they can take their full shelter of Krishna.
it's not difficult. At the same time, by Krishna's mercy, one can very easily progress. Without Krishna's mercy, even one tries, they won't be able to expand or manifest even pure love for Krishna. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being glorified. But Lord Chaitanya, he didn't like being glorified, so he replied, Mahaprabhu ko he suno bata mohamati mayavadi sannasi ami na jani Krishna bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my dear beloved Bhatta, you are a learned scholar, kindly listen to me. I am a sannyasi of the Mayavadi school. Therefore, I have no chance of knowing what Krishna Bhakti is. Advaita Acharya Gosai Sakat Iswar Tar Sangi Amar Mona Hailo Nirmal. Nevertheless, my mind has become purified because I have associated with Advaita Acharya, who is directly the personality of Godhead. Sarva Saste Krishna Bhakti Nahi Jasam Athaiva Advaita Acharya Tarna. He is unparalleled in his understanding of all the revealed scriptures and the devotional service of Lord Krishna. Therefore, he is called Advaita Acharya. He is unparalleled in his understanding of all the revealed scriptures and the devotional service of Lord Krishna. Therefore, he is called Advaita Acharya. He is such a great personality. By his mercy, he can convert even the meat eaters, mlechas, to the devotional service of Krishna, who therefore can estimate the power of his Vaishnavism. Advaita Gosami ki, Siddhanath ki. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is extremely difficult to convert a mlecha, a meat eater, into a devotee of Lord Krishna. Therefore, anyone who can do so is situated on the highest level of Vaishnavism. Paschat desha sunyavadi durachari mayavadi uddhar phailo keval tuar doye. At the Western countries, the voidist, impersonalist, and persons addicted to illicit activities against the Vedic principles of human life, although it is almost impossible to deliver such fallen souls simply by your causes mercy, even such souls have been delivered from material life. Find that the meat eaters are a bit dull-headed. It's hard for them to understand spiritual points. But it's possible if they get good association with the devotees and hear the glories of Krishna that they can gradually become freed from their materialistic attachments. Advaita Goswami was so powerful that he was able to purify even the meteors. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my dear Bala Bhatta, you are a learned scholar, kindly listen to me. Lord Chaitanya went on to say, Nityananda Abaduta Sakata Ishwar Bhavanamodar Mato Krishna Premina Sagar. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the Avadhut, is also directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is always intoxicated with the madness of ecstatic love. Indeed, he is an ocean of love of Krishna. Sharadarshanavetha Bhattacharya Jarvabhoma Sharadarshani Jagat Guru Bhagyavatottama. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya perfectly knows his six philosophical theses. He is therefore the spiritual master of the entire world in the six paths of philosophy. He is the best of all the devotees. Teho de gaila more Krishna bhakti yoga par tar prasade janilu Krishna bhakti yoga sar. Sarva Bhattacharya has shown me the limit of devotional service. Only by his mercy have I understood that devotional service to Krishna is the essence of all mystic yoga.
Ramananda Rai Krishna Rasira Nidan Teho Janaila Krishna Shayang Bhagavan.
Sri Ramananda Rai is the ultimate knower of the transcendental mellows of Lord Sri Krishna's devotional service. He has instructed me that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Through the mercy of Ramananda Rai, I have understood the ecstatic love of Krishna is the highest goal of life, and that spontaneous love of Krishna is the highest perfection. Purport. Purushartha, goal of life, generally refers to religion, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally liberation. However, above these four kinds of purushartas, love of Godhead stands supreme. It is called parama purushartha, the supreme goal of life, or purushartha siddhamoni. Lord Krishna is worshipped by regulative devotional service, but the highest perfection of devotional service is spontaneous love of Krishna. This is a special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He's come down, he sends his devotees to come down in order to get us not only these four perfections of life, liberation, economic development, answering of our inquisitiveness, so on, but actually gives us the supreme benediction, that is the Purushartha, or chanting the holy name of Krishna. This is given by Krishna's mercy. This is the special mercy that Lord Chaitanya has given, what even nobody has given before so freely. That's why we pray to him, Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Trishay Namo Namaha. He's the greatest benefactor, the greatest giver. But you can see how Lord Chaitanya, he's relishing, glorifying his own devotees. It's the characteristic of Krishna and his pure devotees, that they enjoy hearing and glorifying about other devotees. They don't like to hear bad news about other devotees. They like to hear whatever someone's doing properly in Krishna consciousness. That is a special mercy of the Lord. By doing that, a person is elevated beyond these four varnashram functions and able to engage in pure devotional service. Now, we read earlier the pastime of Ramananda Rai, how he was answering questions for Lord Chaitanya. He was saying that you're speaking through me. I don't know even what I'm saying. Whatever you're making me say, that's what I'm speaking. So sometimes a spiritual master may say something, even he may not fully understand all the purports himself, but by repeating perfectly, then somehow or another be adjusted, and one's able to get the benefit of rendering pure devotional service. Pure devotional service to Krishna, love for Krishna, is something very special. That's why when somebody is advancing in the path of pure devotional service, we want them to continue. We want them to take full advantage and achieve pure love for Krishna in this lifetime. Once that's achieved, then, of course, our whole mission will be successful. So, this was the mood, that we respect the Vaishnavas and try to get them to give us their blessings, and by serving Krishna, try to purify ourselves and come up to the platform of pure, spontaneous love for Godhead. Are there any questions? So many ways, can't limit it to the deities, to the devotees, to the festivals, to remembering. Even by remembering the Lord, one can get the benefit. Of course, to be more open to get the mercy of the Lord, we should learn to be humble. You see, in the material world, people tend to be proud,
tend to be self-righteous. They think that whatever they're doing is right. That's actually the absolute feature, that we should be very responsible for our activities and surrender the will of the... Without being humbled, if we start to think that somehow Krishna deserves to give us mercy, then it won't be very successful. Even when Radharani became a bit proud, she was left by Krishna in the forest alone, and he's supremely renounced. He's not actually Freud or anybody's not able to understand Lord Krishna's actions whatsoever. Lord Krishna's activities are completely transcendental. But if someone is very humble and dedicated, then they can attract Krishna's attention, his mercy to such souls. Yes, Vijay? That's for Krishna and Lord Chaitanya to reveal. We hope in the future that everyone can become Acharya and be Jagat Guru and deliver the whole universe. Depends upon. But Prabhupada considered that his disciples and followers were pure devotees. That's what he considered. He didn't consider them to be neophyte devotees. So, definitions are given in the Shastra. What is the Jagat Guru? If somebody qualifies according to those definitions, that has to be judged on a one-by-one basis. But the idea is everyone should be a Jagat Guru. They should try to. Real Guru, Prabhupada said, is a Guru for the whole world. Real Acharya. So the thing is to become from a Guru to an Acharya. To actually be Acharya, to be able to deliver people all over the world. That is the objective of a preacher. In India, Prabhupada, he didn't like the word Jagat Guru so much, although it has been used many times in his books. But they are possibly because all of the Mayavadi gurus, they always call themselves as Jagat Guru. So you have big signs. If you go to the Kumbh Mela, you'll see 108 Jagat Guru, Sri Sripad, Shankar, Aranya, Badala, you know, it's like a huge maha, this, that, going on, big. Then they go to the next one, and it's 1,008, 10,008. The Prabhupada one time said, what is this, 108, 1,008, 10,008, 420. 420 means that in Indian penal code, there's one of the, just like they say 10-4 or something, you know, 420 means that is the code for cheating. In the penal code, for cheating someone else by falsification of documents, by misrepresentation, by, you know, this type of thing, you know, there's a code, and that code is called 420, the Indian penal code. Just like 355 is murder, you know, just like homicide in America might be 286, whatever, you know. So that normally nobody knows what the penal code is, but this has become very well used because it's a common thing that if somebody gets caught doing some black market, in all the papers they say he's got caught for 420. So 420 means, if you say that, that means the guy is just a cheat. So Prabhupada is your plague. There was 108,008, 10,008. Then somebody had 100,008. Then he says 420. Then everybody cracked up. 420. They just keep putting numbers, you know. So then if somebody puts 108, then somebody is, well, 1,008, so he must be bigger. And somebody at 10,008. But they're putting all Jagat Guru, 1,008,000, 10,008,000. But if you see who they've been able to make as Krishna, they haven't made one Krishna Bhakta. But they're 10,008,000, 420 Jagat Guru. So that way, there's no use in just putting the title Jagat Guru, Jagat Guru. Someone should actually manifest that preaching practically, show that mercy of Krishna is there. Prabhupada wanted his followers to be all-empowered preachers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to all be Jagat Guru and deliver the whole universe. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching to his followers, and one day they were on a morning walk or evening walk, and then he looked up at the moon and said, "The next I want to go there and preach in the moon planet. There's so many materialistic people there. Although they are in a moon planet, they've turned away from Krishna and they're simply interested in sense gratification. So I have to go there and give them pure Krishna bhakti." Everybody was speechless. So the devotee of the Lord is thinking simply how to spread the Sankirtan movement in one place or the other, all over the universe. So someone may be like Vasudev Datta Thakur, who by simply his desire he delivers the whole universe, or someone may be like Srila Prabhupada, who physically travels everywhere and delivers everyone. Any other question? What? Well, if you go there and they're blaspheming the movement or Krishna, then it's better not to discuss about the movement and Krishna at all. Simply go there, give them a little prasadam, say hello, and if they're going to blaspheme, then say, "I can't come here because it's too painful for me. You know, you do your thing, I'll do whatever, you know, just do some." But just go there and give them a little prasad, engage them in some service, knowingly or unknowingly. And if a person is a hardcore atheist or an impersonalist, Prabhupada said that sometimes there's no use in preaching to them. Especially sometimes these people who are totally impersonalist. No matter what you preach, they just listen. And it gets all scrambled up in their brain. And when it comes out, it's all one. No matter what you say, they'll nod, they'll say yes. But then after a while, because somehow this Mayavadi philosophy is such that it short circuits the intelligence. And if somebody's been too much absorbed in impersonal philosophy, their brain is totally short circuited. And you try to say something to them, and it's very difficult. In many cases, you find, I mean, they just don't have the, due to their offenses or something, they don't have the ability to understand. Rarely you can change such people. So after spending some time, if you see that in spite of all, they listen, they understand, they nod their head, the whole thing. And then when you ask them to explain what you told them, it's all one. "I'm God, you're, you know." Then you say, "All right, you know, great, you know, you're a wonderful person. Why don't you just, why don't you come over to the temple, help us sweep the floor?" "Yeah, I like to, people are practical." Just engage in the service, whatever it is. And then, you know, although they may think they're God sweeping the floor, whatever, just engage them in service and they get some sukriti, maybe this life or the next life. We had one person, he was a friend of Krishna, life member. Every day he would meditate naked in his puja room. "Aham brahmasmi," you know, and he would just do this kind of impersonal thing. And he's, you know, into this for 2 hours. He'd get up at 2 in the morning and he'd do a whole thing, you know. And he wrote a book, you know, about how the light, the path of the light or something. But he couldn't, no matter what you said, even when I told him that in the Bhagavad Gita, says, "Brahmano pratistham, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman." In the whole context of that chapter, his all his spiritual life, Brahman, everything. So he phoned up. He was so confused by that. He looked at it. It was like a whole major upset in his life. So he phoned up one friend of his who was a Mayavadi also, some professor or some guru in some Mayavadi ashram. He said, no. Brahmanaomi means the four-headed Brahma. Krishna is saying he's the basis of four-headed Brahma. There's nowhere that you can squeeze that meaning out. But after that, he wouldn't hear any. No, it's four-headed Brahma. That's it. They just don't, So they don't want to learn. They're not open. It's like inside. But that person, in spite of all this type of Mayavadi tendencies, or, you could say he's a hardcore, was an impersonalist, he did tremendous service for me. We didn't waste our energy. A few days we tried. Used every, but when I just saw that, it was kind of hopeless. Then we just started engaging him in service. By doing service, he started to chant Hare Krishna. And although he kept up his maya, his mystic yoga meditation, he started to chant a little Hare Krishna. And gradually you could see that his heart was softening, although it took a couple of years, a lot of service. So Prabhupada said sometimes these life members or different people, if they're too mayavadi, then there's no use in disturbing them. Rather try to engage them in some service, as long as they're not offensive. If you start discussing, they get offensive. They start to just give their speculations and all. And then suddenly, just as he was starting to get a little bit devotionally inclined, he passed away. I think for all of his service, Krishna will bless him that he can be a devotee, because his brain was too contaminated to, at that, fully get into devotional service. But he was inclined. So I'm hopeful that by Krishna's mercy, he'll be able to be a devotee in his next life. It says, Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan maang prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlavam. After many, many births, one is able to accept devotional service, understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Become a devotee. So these gyanis, even though they're wise men, it takes them many, many births to become truly, what to speak of, just ordinary atheists who don't even understand anything about absolute truth or God. But for them also, they can simply be engaged in Krishna's service, bring them a sweet or something, give them some prasad, see them for a few minutes and then go. Don't get... in this way, as much as you can engage some people, you can engage some wives who are Krishna conscious, complain their husband's totally in Maya, he's not interested at all. So then, remember, Subhag Maharaj was recommending that you give some, you offer a little Krishna prasad. Don't tell him it's prasad, you slip it in his food. And by doing that, many wives have change the heart of their husbands. So powerful is this medicine. In fact, one of our namhads, one of my disciples came and told me that now we have a pretty big revolution in the village. We get all the women to chant Hare Krishna. So the husbands are totally against us. So for 1 year, they have to do it on the sly. Sometimes they get caught. Sometimes they have to count on their fingers, or they find their bead bag. It's a big thing. But somehow or another, he faced these things. By the time they get 1 year chanting, they become fixed up, then they can face their husband. Then after that, the husband, he can't do anything. In the end, the wife is able to bring the husband around and make him a devotee. So he said, now this way we have already got 4 or 5 families, and we're working on more. So whether the husband becomes Krishna conscious first, or the wife, whatever, sometimes it happens that when you're preaching in congregational preaching, one person is more interested than the other. But by association, by taking prasad, by doing some service, gradually their heart becomes a little purified, and they get enough sukriti that they're able to render devotional service. Last question. Are they? Well, Krishna says people that go to him for material reasons are pious. So if somebody's worshipping God to get material benefit, they're also considered pious people, like Swakam devotees. They may not be pure devotees, they haven't been trained to simply serve the Lord in love. Lord Jesus said that one, the highest perfection is that one should love the Lord with pure love, you know, with all heart, soul, mind, everything. That was his first commandment. So love means to give without expecting any return. If you give and you expect a return, it's a business deal. It's not love. But love means it's unconditional. So this is already there in Christian teaching. So a real Christian should be a real lover of God from that definition. One would take it. But in practical terms, you find in all religions that people are serving the Lord, but for some material purpose. They want something out of it. It's not pure love. So they are considered to be pious people, but not pure devotees. So we are trying to actually fulfill the real purpose of Lord Jesus. Therefore, in one sense, you can take it that the Krishna conscious devotees are the real Christians, because we are following his first commandment to systematically develop love for God. If somebody says, I'm an American, I'm American, I'm a patriot, I'm a pure American, and they're waging war against the country or they're cheating on their income tax. They can say anything. They can wear a bumper sticker on their thing, but if they don't pay their income tax, then what kind of citizen are they? Or someone else, he may not put all the fanfare up, but when the need is there, he gives his life for the country, then he's the real patriot. So it's like that. Someone, you know, may be going around telling everybody how they're a great Christian, or how they're a great this or great that. But you have to see what is their practical activities also. What is their understanding and what is their activities? So the meaning of acharya is they should know and they should act and they should teach others. Just to advertise one's own self, then you put yourself under surveillance and see. So we don't advertise ourselves here and there that we are great Christians or anything, but if you want to say that what is a Christian, if you follow the teachings of Christ, you must be a Christian. So Christ says that you should develop love for God, and that's my first commandment. So if you want to go through him, that means you have to follow his teaching. So we are following that teaching. So how are we doing any? We are also, therefore, you could take it that we're as much Christian as anyone else, at least on that pure level. We may not do all the other rituals, but at least we're doing the number one commandment, which is to develop love for God. I don't think that Jesus would at all be dissatisfied with our attempt. Rather, he would be very grateful that we're trying to develop love for God. After all, Godhead is the Father that he said everyone should love. Hare Krishna.